You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully on today's episode, which is being dropped on the 7th day of January 2021. We are bringing in Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily and the host of Locked On Twins. Guess what team we're going to talk about? That's right, the Pirates. No, we're going to talk about the Twins. Holy Toledo. How crazy. This is not Evan Smith of Locked On Pirates. No. It's Nash Walker of Locked On Twins. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. And when you're staying at home in this new year, which it feels eerily similar to last year, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows of the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball and, why not, Locked On Twins with Nash Walker. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So, as I teased before and as I promised you right here and also right now, I am bringing in the host of Locked On Twins and someone who is also a contributor of Twins Daily. And you know what? I'm a father of twins, but you are a fan of twins.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're linked that way. How you doing, man?
I'm good, Sully. Thanks for having me. I'm glad I'm coming on. Finally, I know we've wanted to do this for a while, and I'm excited to talk Twins with you. I think they are a fascinating club, and this offseason, as slow as it has been, is going to be interesting, I think, in the next month or so, hopefully.
Yeah, you and I have been kicking around and playing sort of email tag for a while. Sorry, it's just one of these things that you couldn't get that Venn diagram down where we can both sit down and actually do this. So I'm glad we're doing it in this offseason. Okay, first and foremost, let's talk a little bit about what we experienced in the, say it with me, everybody, the truncated season. Boy, has there ever been a year we said truncated as often as we had in 2020? If there's any word, how would you describe 2020? Truncated.
Yes.
Truncated.
And with an abundance of caution.
Exactly. And do you know what? It was unprecedented.
Yep.
Do you know we were living in unprecedented times? I'd like to live in precedented times. I'd like to go back to precedent. But that being said, it was a year like so many with the Minnesota Twins where they make the postseason and the postseason's barely started and everyone's packing.
Yeah.
So this is and it's really mind-boggling. And I have talked about this, about how much we put on emphasis of October success for a franchise's success. When you consider that when the Twins were threatened to be contracted after the 2001 World Series, they've made the postseason 2002, 2003, 2004, 2006, 2009, 2010, 2017 and 2020 and was there and 2019? Yeah, nine times.
Yep.
Right.
And
if they won just one more damn game in 2008, then you could say half of the years of this century, the Twins qualified for the postseason, and yet nobody gives them credit because they only advanced once. And you take a look at some of the franchises like, you know, the Royals or the Angels, who had like one run where they went all the way to the end, and they can say, oh, yeah, they've had a recent run. The Twins, if they had a little better luck in the postseason, would be considered a model franchise. But, you know, it's unfair, but that's how them's the breaks.
Yep. And that's just the way, you know, it is frustrating because we look back at 2019, it was such a special year, winning 101 games, winning the Central again and setting the home run record. And it feels like you can't even talk about how much success they've had. They have more wins than anyone in the American League in the last 2 years, Sully, in the regular season. But it's almost like you can't say that because it's like, well, what have they done? You know, they've won a bunch of regular season games and they just can't get it done in October. Last offseason, they signed Josh Donaldson, feeling like he would help them when they got to the playoffs. He ends up missing the playoffs, super unfortunate with that calf injury. And it was just disappointing again. You know, I'm sitting there the day after they get eliminated and I'm looking out the window and you just say, and I think the front office probably asks themselves too, is what do we do? You know, what can we do to get this monkey off our back? The 18 in a row, it's almost like a franchise, just a cloud now. You know, they always pushed last year. We have this new core. They didn't lose those games. You know, they're not scared of the Yankees. They're not worried about that streak. And now you look at it and you say, it seems to be a trend. You know, at some point you have to say you lose 18 playoff games in a row. It's almost like the team has it in the back of their mind, you know, and that's, I think, difficult for fans too, because we have it there as well.
And you think about some of the players who've been on this run where you had Santana, who at his peak was the best pitcher in baseball, and you had MVPs like Mauer and Morneau, great years from people like, you know, Torrey Hunter, and you look at some of those teams couldn't advance. And I'm going to bring up when the Red Sox couldn't win all those years. I think that when you have everybody in their moose staring at the players going, you're going to lose, 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 I think that wears them down, you know, having to answer for, you know, like Eddie Rosario and Nelson Cruz having to answer for why Johan Santana let up a home run to Frank Thomas in 2006. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any effing sense. If you say like, hey, Miguel Sano, what do you think about that blown call when Joe Mauer's double was called a foul ball? Do you think that's – what do I know? I wasn't there.
Exactly. Yep, yeah. Exactly. And that's the frustrating part. And that was the narrative in 2019 before they went to Yankee Stadium in the ALDS. That's what all you heard. You know, the reporters were asking, hey, you've lost 16 straight playoff – or at that time it was 13 straight playoff games. Is this something you think about? And all the guys were like, no, you know, we weren't on those teams. And I believed them, and they went to Yankee Stadium. And I think that series was more of an indication of just not having enough starting pitching depth. But this year it really felt like with the expanded playoffs, they get to play the losing Astros, who just – all year just felt like they weren't right, and they just, you know, they're kind of limping into the playoffs, 29-31. The Twins win the division again, and they get home field where they were so great all year. You just felt really confident. You know, it felt like they were finally going to do it. And also on that side of the bracket with the A's and the White Sox, I think the Twins and we all felt like we could beat the White Sox in a series, and the A's, I think, as well. And we got to avoid the Rays and the Yankees and the Indians and all those teams up top. And I think Twins fans felt really good about our position. And it just was gone in 2 days. And it's just like, again, you look back and you say, what do you even take out of that? What do you take out of two games like that? They score two runs, and I don't even know how you look at the offseason either for them initially. And it's kind of worn and it's healed since then. But initially it was like for the first month of the offseason, it's just, you're almost in shock of this happened again. What happened? You know, and I think that's been the overarching feeling for a lot of fans for as many years as it's happened.
I think that the autopsy for what happened in 2020 can go right to game one, because the Twins were playing the Astros and everybody thought that the that it was a mismatch. Obviously, the Astros had the rotten season. They were only in there because of the expanded playoffs. And very early on in that game, the Twins, I think it was right out of the gate. I'm going to baseballreference.com, the single greatest website in the history of the planet Earth. And very early in that game, it looked like the Twins might have had a chance to jump out ahead and put Greinke on his heels. And they could not get that big hit. They could not. I have the game up here. Yeah, because in the first inning, the Greinke was super wild, and they had the bases, the Twins had the bases loaded and one out. and Rosario and Sano coming up. And very early, all it would have taken was one hit, and they would have gotten on the board early and put the Astros on their heels. And instead, they couldn't score. They couldn't score until Nelson Cruz hit a double. And if I'm not mistaken, the Twins scored only two runs in both games, and both were produced by Nelson Cruz. And they took it all the way to the seventh inning, up 1-0. And then It was with two outs in the ninth inning, Sergio Romo walks a runner with the bases loaded. And then Brantley singles home an insurance run. And next thing you know, I think that was that bottom of the first inning of game one is, you can look at it, said the entire scenario of what the entire American League playoffs could have been different if Sano or Rosario hit one into the gap.
Yep. And Rosario tags that ball. It was a liner. And then Sano hit a little dribbler to Bregman. He made just an excellent play with his bare hand, throwing to first, and just beat him by a half step. And that just screams Twins October. You know, it felt like at times we just couldn't. You're right. They couldn't break through with just one hit or one bounce or one hole. It feels like it's never really gone their way. And that's not an excuse for the way they've played either. You know, they didn't show up those two games for the most part, and especially outside of Nelson Cruz. I think as a team, they hit under 100 in this. Like, it was just a terrible series. Offensively, it was just horrible. And Kenta Maeda and Jose Barrios were great on their 10 innings of work, just giving up a run. But it's just frustrating, Sully. It certainly is, because they can't find that hole. I think that's what you're getting at, too, is like they get the bases loaded against Greinke, and you just need something to break through. You just need one thing, and it felt like it just doesn't happen. And all you can do is just look to next year. That's all we can do is just say, hey, maybe next October we'll get that hit. The Twins will get that hit.
It's funny. Like, this is amazing when you forget this because, you know, you take a few steps back. But it was – when you think about who hamstrung Minnesota this year, and it was Framber Valdez, who came out of the bullpen. He pitched five shutout innings out of the bullpen. When Greinke – he only let up the two hits, but he let up three walks and four. He let up five base runners in four innings, but he only allowed one run. And then Valdez came out and he pitched five shutout innings, and which these days is like throwing a complete game. And he did that out of the pen. And Dusty Baker was like, "No, have him finish. Well, he hasn't. They've gotten a hit off of him. Why would we take him out?" And wound up striking out five in the five innings. And, you know, when you look back and you say, like, if Valdez was merely good, not great, the Twins probably win that game. And that's, you know, I mean, it's not fair, but as, they didn't deserve that. But as Clint Eastwood said in Unforgiven, deserving's got nothing to do with it. Hey, look, it's Lucas Smith of Locked On Cardinals. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Hey, look, it's Sully of Locked On MLB.
Wow, we're both here. And you know what I want to talk about? We want to talk about right now? I want to talk a little bit about cars.
Let's do it.
What kind of car do you have?
2013 Ford Escape. I believe you have a Ford, too. Is that right?
I got a Ford Fiesta with my Washington State University sticker on the back.
Love it.
Sometimes I need to get it repaired because you got to maintain your car. So you can save money. You can use that money for important things like mortgage or food. Or maybe you and I could pool our money and buy the A's. But do you know what? Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% or more for the exact same part at a chain store or a new car dealership? Why would you do that?
I wouldn't, Sully. You know where I would go? I'd go to RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com. It's a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. That's just about as old as I am, 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com, and you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers.
Well, you know what? They've got everything from engine control modules, which I don't even know what that is, to brake parts, to tail lamps, to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or for my beautiful Ford Fiesta, you can get anything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
RockAuto.com catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and the best parts. Sully, you can choose the prices that you prefer.
Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals or for schmucks like us. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts?
You wouldn't. You go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Sully, what can they do to let them know that we sent them?
I've right locked on in there. How did you hear about us, box? So they can know that we sent you.
Love it. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Tell them that website one more time, Sully.
RockAuto.com! Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q, handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's just talk a little bit about 2021. There's no powerhouse team in the American League Central, although the Chicago White Sox probably think they are. What are your thoughts on the Minnesota Twins going into 2021, and how do you think they are built to last, especially with rumors that Nelson Cruz might be heading elsewhere?
Yeah, so I think they have work to do, and I think they know that. But I would also say that the framework of this team is promising. I mean, your infield with Donaldson and Polanco and Arraez and Sano is set and solid, and maybe they even add a shortstop. The outfield, left field will be soon to be Alex Kirilloff, the top prospect, Byron Buxton in center, and Max Kepler in right. You hope Nelson Cruz comes back as your designated hitter. The rotation has a really strong top three for the playoffs in Maeda, Barrios, and Pineda, but they need to fill out that back end a little bit with Randy Domnak. The bullpen, good young arms, Jorge Alcala. Tyler Duffy's one of the best relievers in the league. Taylor Rogers, they're hoping, bounces back in 2021. But the framework of the roster is solid. It's not like they need to go out and make a bunch of moves, make a bunch of trades to try to catch up with the White Sox. I'd say right now the White Sox are a slight favorite just because they've added Lance Lynn and the Twins have done nothing. But, you know, re-signing Nelson Cruz, potentially signing Marcus Semien, who they've been linked to, and moving Jorge Polanco to utility role, all of a sudden you could see them becoming the favorite again in 2021 to win this division, just because I think they've built this roster for now. They've built this roster to be solid now if they can stay healthy, and that was such a problem last summer. Donaldson and Arraez and Polanco had ankle surgery for the second straight year. They just had trouble staying healthy, but you feel like the baseline roster is a winning one. And there's going to be fringe moves here in the next couple of weeks that are going to help them a lot. Hopefully one of them is Nelson Cruz, because they do need a DH, and Nelson Cruz and the Twins are such a good fit together. But I think the baseline team that they have on paper right now is one that's going to compete, and it's one that's going to push the White Sox even if they don't make any moves. And I don't think this is a team that you can just all of a sudden say, oh, the White Sox are better than. You know, the White Sox have to prove that they can take this division from the Twins. They blew it last summer. They easily could have taken it in a 162-game season if that's what we end up getting. And the Twins are built for that too. And I think they were last summer and still won 36 games out of 60 and struggled a lot offensively. So there's definite reason for hope and upside here, but they do have work to do, certainly. They need to make some fringe moves. They need to fill out that rotation, maybe another bullpen arm. I would love to see them sign a Semien or a Simmons or a Gregorius and move Polanco to the utility role that's been filled, or Marwin Gonzalez filled last year and the year before. And then I think they'll be pretty solid heading into Fort Myers for spring training. But I feel good about the team in 2021 as a fan, of course. It's easy to say you feel good, but yeah, the roster on paper I think is one that's going to win quite a few games here in the next summer.
What are your thoughts on Rocco Baldelli as a manager?
Really like him. Really like him. I think Rocco has brought a really, and this kind of feeds into the built for 162. Rocco's very even keeled. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. And I think that really helps in a 6-month season when they lose a really tough game in extra innings. Rocco's the same guy. You know, if they have a big win, he's the same guy. And I think that really contributed to them not losing two games in a row until like July in 2019, because the team reflects the manager, as we know in baseball. And I think they've all kind of taken on that very even keeled, calm approach to the game. You show up every day, you do your business, and you play and you leave. And you know, he there's texts they send in the morning and say, all right, no BP today. It's very hands-off, laissez-faire managing style and a emotional, intelligent managing style where Rocco has the relationships with these guys that are different from each other. And I think he's taken that on, and I think it's helped everyone a lot. I think Nelson Cruz really liked to play for him. Nelson Cruz is actually older than Rocco, but I think really liked to play for him. And I think they all like to play for him. You know, Ira Adrianza played with Bochy in San Francisco and said Rocco's the best manager he's ever had. And I think these guys really like to play for him. And I think it was a just slam dunk hire by Derek Falvey and Thad Levine to bring him in. And it's really been fun to watch him work. Now, the flip side of that is sometimes you want your manager to, you know, if there is a big loss, you want your manager to come out sometimes and have more emotion maybe. And I think there's times when Twins fans think that he is too laid back, but you've seen, you know, again, they've won more games than anyone in the American League the last 2 years. Does Rocco's style impact their you know, kind of feeling in the playoffs and them getting up for games in the playoffs? I don't know, but I think it's hard to look at his tenure so far in these last two seasons and not say that he's been uber successful at managing this roster.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. As an outsider, he strikes me as, I think you said it really well, he's a really good person you want to have for the 162 games. It's very sexy to have someone flipping a table over or kicking dirt and trying to act like Billy Martin or something like that. But a lot of times you find that that kind of wears down on a team that, you know, Joe Torre wasn't that way. You know, Terry Francona wasn't that way. I'm sure, I mean, evidently those who played for Francona or for Torre say that he will definitely get mad and dress you down if you're not playing hard. But it's not always about screaming at the umps and flipping tables. I mean, you look at if there are the three most successful, at least in terms of championships, for managers of the last few decades, have been Torre, Francona, and Bruce Bochy. And none of them are the Billy Martin screaming at umpires. You know, they're not cut from that cloth. And you got to think that if more and more of these decisions are being made in the front office, then really the manager's job is to make sure that everyone buys into the system and keeps calm. It is 160. Now, of course, this last year was different. Last year was a sprint. But you look at the results. What, he won, 100 games first season?
Yep.
And they played 600 ball his second season?
He's, you know, he's the winningest manager in MLB history, Sully, just based on these last 2 years. I mean, small.
But he's also not yet 40.
Right.
I mean, he's someone who could be there. Look, if he is someone that, you know, in the past, you know, Molitor notwithstanding, the Twins managers have had long tenures, right, whether it's been Kelly or Gardenhire. And this is someone who could be there for the long term. And I'm, you know, again, I don't follow the Twins day in and day out the way you do, but he strikes me at least the two managers that really, I mean, they're very similar franchises in that they get to the postseason all the time. They can't advance, Oakland and Minnesota. They can only advance if they play each other. But you know, Melvin is that way with Oakland, and Baldelli reminds me of Bob Melvin,
yep,
essentially. And so I think the Twins really luck onto a really good managerial candidate who probably should be there for a while.
Yeah, and I think he also has, and I think he was a huge factor in signing Donaldson, and Donaldson knew him from the AL East when Rocco was in Tampa. That's something you love to see as well. You want a manager who is talking to free agents, and free agents kind of gravitate toward them. And Donaldson and Rocco, it sounded like they really hit it off. Another thing we really like, I think, as fans too, is he does have a rest and recovery model where he tries to keep guys healthy, giving them regular days off. You know, Mitch Garver in 2019 probably should have played a lot more or could have played a lot more, but Rocco really made the point of, hey, we want to keep him fresh behind the plate, and he ends up slugging 630 in one of the best offensive seasons a catcher's ever had. And I think those type of things too help guys a lot not wear down as the season goes on. Haven't seen that locker pay off yet. Donaldson, they kept out for a month with the calf strain, and I think we're really conservative about bringing him back. And he still was out for the playoffs, but I think in the long run, that's a good model that he's followed, is keeping these guys fresh. And again, it's 162, and it's a marathon, and you got to keep your guys ready to go. And I think he's done that as well, which I think is, for a fan, it's refreshing and good to see. You want your players out there as much as possible as a manager as well, and I think it's worked.
Can you imagine if in the early 80s, one of Cal Ripken's managers had that mentality? You know, and said, hey, yep, Cal, 162. You're going to play 155 this year. We're going to give you a day off every once in a while. You know, if Earl Weaver's first year, or Joe Altobelli, or his dad, or Frank Robinson, think about those managers he had in the 80s. It just at one point said, you know what, Cal? It's the end of the year. Or like there's a couple of times it's like in 83 when it was like, hey, Cal, take a couple of days off, stay fresh. We're gonna play, we need you in the playoffs. Take 2 days, yeah. Get rest your calves. And you know, if he put up the exact same numbers, he'd still be in the Hall of Fame. He got 3,000 hits, 400 home runs, and everything like that. But that whole streak to beat Lou Gehrig, and I think about exactly what you're saying, and it's incredibly smart in 162 games to say, do you want every once in a while, I'm going to give you a day, especially in a position like, you know, catcher or shortstop, which has a tremendous, you know, plays a tremendous toll on your body. You know, if just Joe Altobelli, just 1.84, put his arm around and said, yep, Cal, you know what, just take today off. And his entire legacy would have been different. Not anything to do with the Minnesota Twins. It just struck me as funny thinking about that. But, hey, man, I'm really happy I finally got you on the show and we talked about a little bit about the Twins. They are an exciting team. And, man, I would love for one of these years. I mean, think about this for a second, folks. If those of you aren't Twins fans, take two steps back and think about this. This was a team where they were talking about effing contracting, okay? And now they said there's no way they can have a new stadium. We're going to move them to North Carolina. They're going to go to here. They're going to go to there. They've built a beautiful ballpark in a great big city and have churned out star player after star player. And they have nothing to show for it.
Thanks, Sully.
So just out of the goodness of your heart, root for them to have one. You know, it's like I have many, many friends who are Washington Nationals fans, and they went on a great run. They couldn't get out of the first round. And so when they finally won it in 2019, it was this exaltation that made all those near misses mere prologue for happiness.
Yep.
And I think the same thing is possible for the Minnesota Twins.
Thanks, Sully. That's what we need.
When they finally win, all of those playoff appearances building up to it will be, yes, this makes it feel better, as opposed to if they won the World Series in 02, their first time out of the gate, or if the Nationals had moved out, you know, out of the gate in 2012, then it would have made 2019 not feel as good. So you know what? Maybe this is it. And maybe we'll Twins Padres World Series. Come on.
Oh, let's do it. Hopefully Nelson Cruz is on our side, but let's do it.
Let's do it.
Thanks, Sully.
All right, man. Well, hey, where can people listen to your stuff?
Yeah, so Locked On Twins, I'm minimum 3 days a week now, but with rumors and stuff, sometimes four, sometimes five. You can find that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, at Locked On Twins on Twitter. I'm at Nash Walker 9. A lot of Twins stuff, but baseball stuff, and at Twins or twinsdaily.com, and at Twins Daily is where I'm writing weekly as well. So thank you, Sully, and I want to have you on too, because you're a great baseball mind, so I'd love to have you on soon as well.
I'd love to. Let's talk a little Steve Lombardozzi, talk a little Tim Lautner, talk a little Dan Schatzeter,
AJ Pierzynski.
You know, get a little AJ Pierzynski in there. Get a little Ron Coomer in there.
Hell yeah, the Coom dog.
Yeah, get the Coomer in there. Why not?
Sully, why not? Say hi to your twins, okay?
Oh, I'm going to give my twins a big hug, and you give your twins a big hug, and everyone else. You can follow us on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and all the places where you get your podcasts. This has been Locked On MLB Talking Twins on the 7th day of January 2020. Hey, our next show is going to be on the 10th of January. It's going to be another Sunday request. So get your Sunday requests in at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram.
I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.